Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Let's begin today's program with this comment from Mike McIntosh.
With men, it's impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. And this is the little secret I discovered for you, is do you realize he's got all things are possible with God right in the middle of chapter 10 before we get to the end of two short stories? And what is more impossible than a marriage? What is more impossible than children? What is more impossible than a smart-aleck young rich ruler? He's already showed us some of the most impossible things to deal with in life are all taken care of by him. There isn't anything he can't do for you tonight.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Tells us that a good name is more desirable than riches and gold. How are you spoken of by those around you? Are you seeking God's mercies in your life? This is the Tuesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio. Today we continue our series through the Gospel of Mark. For those of you that are parents of small children, isn't it wonderful how they trust you and look to you in all innocence and sincerity? So too, our Heavenly Father wants us to look to Him and trust Him in all innocence. The Bible tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to trust Him. Today we'll look at one man's unwavering faith that allowed him not only to see the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word, but to literally see. Now let's join Mike in Mark chapter 10 as he continues this study we've titled, All Things Are Possible with God.
She didn't know Jesus, but when I went and joined with a couple of friends at her home in Scottsdale, Arizona, I said, Miss Ross, could you tell me why you accepted us out of all these sophisticated organizations? And she had a stack of things, and they had CPAs, and they had all sorts of lawyer legalese, and she picked ours up, and it was one page long. It says, we love God. God loves children. We'd love to use this property to help children that could never come to such a beautiful place as this for free. And that's why she made her decision. And you know, since she died, she said to me one time, she said, Mike, you're sounding like a preacher. I was trying to lead her to the Lord. And I said, Helen, I am a preacher. But I'm awful close to you, aren't I? But anyhow, do you know how, I couldn't tell you the hundreds of boys and girls that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let alone the thousands over the years that have come to that place and been ministered to. It was the simplicity of a child. There's one thing you lack. Maybe the one thing some people lack is for somebody to love them and do something kind to them. You see, there's so much you and I could do as a group. There's even more we can do as individuals. But God would love to use us all to serve Him for no other reason than we want Him to love people like He's loved us and forgiven us. So now the movement is, how hard it is for the rich to get into heaven. They were astonished at his words because this is the opposite vocabulary they had been taught in school and in business. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, notice he's talking to them now, children, settle down, kids. How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Circle that. Underline that. Put stars by it. Mark crosses by it. With men, it's impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. And this is the little secret I discovered getting ready this time for you, is do you realize he's got all things are possible with God right in the middle of chapter 10 before we get to the end of two short stories. And what is more impossible than a marriage? What is more impossible than children? What is more impossible than a smart aleck young rich ruler? He's already showed us some of the most impossible things to deal with in life are all taken care of by him. There isn't anything he can't do for you tonight. There isn't anything he wouldn't do for you tonight. He loves you. He's loved you like he loved Jeremiah. Before I formed you, Jeremiah, in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And he could say to you, hey, Sally, hey, Joan, hey, Fred, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a carpenter. I ordained you to be a police officer. I ordained you to be a senator. Each one of us, he has ordained or otherwise put in our DNA the ability to accomplish something that will fulfill our hearts but give glory to him and his kingdom. And there's no greater place to be than directly in the will of God and knowing who you are in him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 10 that through Jesus he abolished death, past tense. I'm not going to die. This body will die. It deserves to. It's old and it's fallen apart. But I'm not going to die, neither are you. So there's nothing to hold us back from just opening the barn and letting all the horses run and do whatever is available for you to do. But maybe things have you instead of you having things. Maybe like this kid, the riches control you instead of you controlling the riches. Maybe you trust that you have a retirement that you're going to be smooth and really well. Retirement could go any minute. Anything this world has could change in a minute. No, our trust has to be what the wisest man in the world said, Solomon. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but simply acknowledge God in all of your ways, and he will direct your paths. That's who we trust in. We can't trust in this world or the things of this world that make us comfortable. We trust in God, not part of our heart, some of our heart, sometime, once in a while, with all of our heart, and don't lean to our own understanding. Well, it seems to me that, no, I reason that, that's dangerous. Lean not to your own understanding. Just acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Peter began to say to him, hey, look at us. We left everything and we followed you. And Jesus simply said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or his brothers or his sisters or his father or his mother or his wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, some of you know this to be true. I know it from having traveled to 40 to 50 foreign countries over the years and being from jungles to palaces, and I end up having brothers and sisters I didn't know that I had. I have mothers and fathers, older people that take me under their wing and encourage me. I've seen this come to pass, that his family is our family and we are his family, and we must be the children in his family. Simplicity. Easy going. Great expectations. I have a picture of one grandson that since he was adopted, this little guy, he is always like trucks and cars and equipment. He's now... he just turned 5. And he's always, all of it, he just has them everywhere. When he comes to our house, he has a stash in a closet that he gets and he plays with. And yesterday, his dad sent Sandy and me a picture of him in his first real life tractor ride. And the tractor is behind this little guy, and he's about this tall. And they were at a pumpkin patch. And his cheeks are so bright red, and he's going like this, and his eyes are twinkling, and his smile is bigger than the moon. He just rode in a tractor. Big deal. But to him, big deal. It's all how we look at this life we're in. We can be missing it and not even know it. This kid, he missed it. What must I do for eternal life? He really didn't care, because if it wasn't meant on his terms, because he trusted in his riches, why did he even waste his time? We surrender our heart. We give it to him. And we love him with every ounce of it, every bit of it. So Peter tells him this. Hey, who shall not receive 100-fold? There's very few investments that you could make tomorrow morning when the stock market opens up that you'll get 100 times back what you invest. You'll receive 100 times fold in this time, in your lifetime, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, after you leave your body, go to heaven, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they, notice this, were amazed. And as they followed him, they were afraid. Look at the emotions turning, just walking a few blocks. Amazed, afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again. He began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they'll mock him and scourge him and spit on him, and they'll kill him. And the third day he'll rise again. So James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. Well, that's kind of pushy, don't you think, or bossy? He said to them, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your glory. Oh, that's all. And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And then he said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. Remember, that cup was so difficult that he said, Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. And with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left side, it's not mine to give to you, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. That's a good one to think about. When the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude with him, a blind Bartimaeus, I call him Blind Bart, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road. He was begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, now remember, he's blind, he can't see, Son of David. Look at his statement. Don't put me on your left side or your right side, and don't make me wealthy, don't do this. Have mercy on me. Ladies and gentlemen, that'd be something we say every day to the Lord. Have mercy on me. And if you haven't said it for a while, it may be that your heart has become hardened, or it's not as soft and tender as it has been in the past, and you've drifted from prayer, you've drifted from fellowship, you've drifted from Scripture. Have mercy on me. Then many warned him, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now imagine, the disciples are telling him to shut up, and this man's begging mercy for his soul. So Jesus stopped. He stood still. He commanded him to be called. Now look how quickly these 3 stooges or 12 stooges are They called the blind man, and their whole attitude changes. Now they're big shots. Be of good cheer. Rise. Get up. He's calling you. The same guys just said, shut up to him. Now are like, they're blessing him. You've had people do that to you, I know. He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now he answered that question for the rich ruler. He answered that question for James and John. And now he's saying to this man, what can I do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Just like he did that young man. Go your way. Now listen to this, because we're all going to leave now in the next few minutes. We're going to go our way, but notice your faith has made you well. You can go on. You don't need to stand here any longer. Your faith, you have faith. The fact that he's crying out for mercy told Jesus, this is a man of faith. Immediately, there's that word again I told you in the very first night, first chapter, you'll see throughout this gospel. He received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Oh, how that must have been. He'd been up and down that road, Jericho to Jerusalem to Bethlehem to Bethany, all those little towns in there, a couple miles apart each. But what a trip this was to follow Jesus with his sight. And when you follow Jesus with your spiritual sight, it's a brand new world. And some of the things we see and hear and begin to have revealed to us are pretty shocking. And for all my walk with the Lord, I will come to places where I say, okay, I want you to show me more of what's really going on in the world. And then after a month or two or three, I'll say, don't show me more. Let me just digest this, sir. And he'll give me revelation. And he'll show me what the world's really like. And I go, oh, my. We need more people, don't we, Lord? And he said, yes, look, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord for more laborers, because the harvest is ripe and ready to be reaped. There are people like you that are on their way to hell tonight, and you have the words that could stop them, could halt them, could bless them, could heal them, could love them, could forgive them, could have mercy on them. You're a very special person because you are God's daughter. You're God's son. You're not the son or daughter of a statue of a fat, bald-headed guy in Asia or a short, skinny guy in India. You're the daughter and the son of the creator of heaven and earth, and he made you, and he knows you, and he loves you. And he thinks about you all the time. According to Psalm 139, he's kept record of your entire life. Jesus said we'll answer for every idle word we've ever spoken. He's got our conversations recorded in heaven. He's got what our eyes have looked at, what our ears have listened to, what our hearts have hardened against or softened for. He knows you. And he loves you. And he forgives you. And he has mercy on us. We don't deserve it. So let's stand and let's worship the Lord. And if anyone would like to have hands prayed on them, you're sick, you're ill, we'd like the elders to come forward. We'll pray for you. If you have an issue and you'd like to surrender your heart, like that young man, what must I do for eternal life? Let us answer your questions up close and personal. But let this be a personal time of you and him together. Oh, Lord, that you would open our eyes like Jesus did for Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Lord, that you would open our hearts like the little children that came to you and you picked them up and blessed them. Pick us up tonight into your arms, Lord, and bless us with your love. And Lord, challenge our hearts that there's nothing impossible for you. You've showed us so many different little vignettes and little snapshots from the historical album here, from Mark, from marriage to children to young executives to deceptive religious leaders to sacrificing our time and our goods for you. So many things we just move through until somebody shouts out, "Have mercy on me." And as we go home tonight, that's what we're left with. Have mercy on me. Just call out to him. Just call out to him and ask him to have mercy on you. And may his Holy Spirit come upon us. Holy Spirit, come upon these children of yours that stand here as we lift up holy hands without doubting. Dear God, bless us with not just your mercy, but your forgiveness, and with your love, and with your gentleness and kindness, and with your calling for each of our lives. Bless these men and women tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, bless our hearts and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this evening to be with you and to be with our brothers and sisters. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would use each one of us. Maybe it's at a service station that we stop at on the way home, or a drive-thru restaurant, that we could discern the person that's given us our meal is hurting inside, and we can ask him. We can pray for him. Lord, I pray for everyone that each day will be more special than any day they've ever lived. None of us know when our days are up, only you. But in the meantime, we would ask that you'd keep us strong and healthy, and that you'd keep us mobile, and you would allow us to speak with people that are untouchable and unreachable in other people's eyes or understanding, and that we would just have your blessings, that we could go to somebody like the Apostle Paul when he is blinded. There's a certain man, and you sent him to him on the street called Straight. Or like when Joseph in Genesis wandered in the fields looking for his brothers and his father's sheep. It says a certain man said, "What are you doing?" Lord, throughout the whole Bible, there are certain people that you use to interject yourself with to other people's lives. And so we want to be available for that assignment, to be a certain person in a certain place at a certain time that could share you with them. Just open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears. Make us sensitive to your Holy Spirit, and let us follow Jesus up the road of Jericho into Jerusalem. Just bless his holy name. Give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. We give thanks. Bless his holy name, for he is righteous. And his word is righteous, and his love is righteous. And his care and concern for you is very righteous. And apart from me, the Lord Jesus says, you can do nothing. And so we're not trying to be apart from the Lord Jesus, we're just asking to be more of him. We don't care if we get to sit on the floor or stand in the doorway, Lord, just we get to get into heaven is enough. And we want to be able to help you reach the lost. Oh God, be with that lady 1 week later now whose husband died on that plane, and all those police officers that heard of your love. Would you bless them all tonight that they maybe even talk about it over coffee? Lord, may you work in the children of all these families represented here. Because obviously, Jesus made it known in this chapter that you love children. And you want us to be like children.
That's Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse as we conclude his message from Mark chapter 10. On our next broadcast, we'll forge ahead in our series through Mark as we learn that we should have known better. From today's lesson, although Bartimaeus was physically blind, his heart was wide open to seeing the truth of Jesus, freeing him to believe by faith that Jesus was who he said he was, and that he was here on earth to show us his mercy and great love that he has for each of us. Let us open our hearts as well to receive all God has for each one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, if you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. Then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Be with us next time for more from Mark's Gospel with Mike McIntosh here on CNB Radio. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.